Excuse me if I sound like James Earl Jones today, or I was hoping that I sound like James Earl Jones. Fighting off a cold, so bear with me. Tom and Joe had been high school buddies. When they grew up, Joe left town to find his fortune. He became a very successful businessman, but he never married. One day he returned to his hometown and met Tom in a local restaurant. They exchanged stories of how their lives had changed over the years, and Tom explained that he, too, had been very successful. He had married and has three kids. Well, that's great. I'd love to come over and meet your family. He goes, we'd love to have you. I'll tell you what. We live in a condo on 32nd and High Street. You drive around the back of the parking lot, come up to the main door, kick it open with your foot. When you get to the elevator, push the button with your left elbow and come up to the second story. That's where our apartment is. That's great, Joe said. He goes, but I'm a little puzzled. Why would I kick the door with my foot and push the elevator button with my elbow? And he goes, you're not coming empty-handed, are you? Oh, that's a little better. It was more of a groaner than a real laugh, but hey, I'll take anything now. So there's a fable of a couple living in poor circumstances who were given the opportunity to make four wishes, guaranteed to come true. They could ask for whatever they wanted, and they would have them. So it seemed too good to be true, but they were rather modest at first and asked for some good clothes, and when they looked in their wardrobe, their wish had been granted. The rail was filled with fine coats, suits, and dresses. This encouraged them to wish for something better than their broken-down house. So when they returned home, they found it turned into a mansion. Well, this was just so wonderful. So now they asked to be really wealthy. And they had untold riches, jewels, cash in the bank, and stocks. And they wondered how they could top this. And they thought, well, let's ask to be like God. Their wish was granted, but not as they expected. All their possessions disappeared. Clothes, mansion, wealth, nothing was left except a cattle trough with some straw in it. They were, like Jesus, found himself when he was born in Bethlehem in a cattle manger. That's what he had to make do with. And similarly, through his earthly life, he had to make do with rather poor followers, few possessions, small comforts, and no home, ending with a cross and a tomb. But it was through them that he triumphed and brought salvation to mankind. He still has to do it with us. His followers often grumble about our circumstances and looking for more. The Apostle Paul had the right attitude about life when he said this in Philippians 4. I have learned to be content. Philippians 4, 11 to 12. Oh, there we go. Sorry. I'm still fighting the cold. I can't see. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any way and of every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I wanted more. See, unlike Paul, I want more, and he's content with what he has. I should learn to just read that and be content with that. So one man told this story of his past Christmas, and they drew names, and he drew his brother's name for their family get-together. And his brother was kind of hard to buy for because he was the kind of guy that if he wanted something, he would just go out and buy it. So he was really struggling with trying to find a gift that would work for somebody that has everything. And then he remembered the story that's been told in his family over the years about when he was a young man, he owned a compact car. It was an Austin Healey Sprite. And he had taken it apart, moved it down to the basement, and cleaned it up. And then he took all the parts back upstairs and reassembled the tire car in his driveway. Well, that gave him an idea, and he began to search the internet for a model car of an Austin Healey Sprite. And he found one for $5 and wrapped it up and gave it to him for Christmas. So why would he think that he had found the perfect Christmas present for his brother? He bought something that his brother could easily have afforded. But he knew he would like it. Why? Because he gave serious thought to that gift. In that gift, he declared that he was important enough for him to think of him about what he would like. And I know a lot of times we get to this time of the year and we struggle with trying to find the perfect present for our spouse or our family member or brother, sister, or whatever. And we end up with Legos or what's that thing where you pour the seeds in the head and it grows? Chia pet, yeah. You got that for Christmas? Yeah. She tried putting it on your head, didn't she? Yeah. We need to give buying presents and giving presents a lot of thought, a lot more than we probably ought to or we do all the time. But this is Christmas. There's a special reason for this season, isn't there? It's somebody's birthday. Whose birthday is it? So, birthdays usually accompany presents. What are we getting Jesus for birthday? He's already got all the chia pets he needs. A little girl is sitting on her grandpa's lap, rattling off her long list of Christmas toys, and the grandfather recognized that this was a teachable moment for her, and so he said, "Honey, you know it's more blessed to give than to receive." To which the granddaughter replied, "I know that, Grandpa, but receiving is good enough for me now." So what Christmas present did you plan to give for Christmas? What could you possibly give Jesus that he doesn't already have? What could you possibly give God that he doesn't already own? Well, back in the Old Testament, they gave sacrifices. And last week we talked about one sacrifice. This is another sacrifice. There were sacrifices that you had to give. It was required of you. And then there were sacrifices or gifts that you gave because you wanted to. One of these voluntary gifts was called the grain offering in Leviticus. I'll just read some of this. But this is where the story comes from, is when anyone brings a grain offering to the Lord, their offering is to be of the finest flour. They are to pour olive oil on it and put incense on it and take it to Aaron's son, the priest. The priest shall take a handful of flour and oil together with all the incense and burn this as a memorial portion on the altar, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is most holy part of the food offerings presented to the Lord. If you bring a grain offering baked in an oven, it is to consist of the finest flour, either thick loaves made without yeast and with olive oil mixed in, or thin loaves made without yeast and brushed with olive oil. If your grain offering is prepared on a griddle, it is to be made of the finest flour mixed with oil and without yeast. Crumble it and pour it on it. It is a grain offering. So now we are not under the Old Testament law. We are not required to give offerings. But I want us to look at this offering because it was one of those that was voluntary and it was different from most of the other offerings because this one didn't require a sacrificed animal. Almost all the other ones required some kind of animal that had to be sacrificed. It was a offering mixed with flour and incense in it and oil. Like we read, it was that's probably a good offering right there. But the Hebrew word for the grain offering is mincha, and it means it's a reciprocal gift. In other words, the offerer was reciprocating or trying to pay back God for his blessings. Now, we can never pay back God for what he has done for us. But this mincha was a way of telling God and saying to him, "I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you for all the blessings that you have poured out on me. And in just some small way, some small token, I want to offer something back to you just to show you that I love you and appreciate you and I adore you." That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? So this was, in essence, a Thanksgiving offering. And it pleased God immensely. And like I said, we're not under law. We're not required to do this. But we can offer a minchka type of offering Because the book of Hebrews tells us what kind of offerings are acceptable to Jesus. Hebrews 13, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, and do not forget to do good, to share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. So there are two types of offerings that give thanks to God. There's the sacrifices of praise and the sacrifices of sharing with others. These are the types of gifts that God would like to have from his people. They're not expensive. They're not always overly impressive, but they do require effort and thought. In order for us to give back something to a God who's got everything, it's going to take some work on our part. It's going to cause our mind to think about, what does God want from me? And let me tell you just out front that what God really wants from all of us is all of us. He wants us. He wants your entire being. He wants you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to love him and serve him and obey him and adore him and worship him. That's a part of our worship. That's the sacrifices of our praise. Christmas songs are great to sing during this time of the year because it praises God for what he has done. Away in the manger, you know, holy, 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 God Almighty. When I originally read about this grain offering in Leviticus, my mind just kind of went to, well, this would be kind of easy and simple for them. They just give them a bowl of Cheerios or some shredded wheat, and there's your grain offering. It's a whole grain, you know, but this requires more than just plucking grains off or the seeds off the stalk of a wheat plant. But this required a lot of effort and expense. It had to take the wheat and ground it down into flour. And then the offering was to mix with expensive incense and oil. You had to put extra time and effort into this offering for the Lord. A woman once said that how she felt about the gifts they received from their grandmother one year. When her cousins got gifts, they received brightly wrapped games and toys and even a brand new electric piano. But her brother received matchbox cars, and she opened a gift that contained used Barbie dolls. Even to her young mind, it was obvious with her that her grandmother thought of her and her brother. And so when we offer our gifts to God, they should reflect what we think of him. And the gifts should require extra effort and time on our part. We need to give God some thought. We need to think of what he wants for us on a daily basis, not just on Christmas. The sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, Jesus. It should continually be on our mouth, regardless of the circumstances or where we find ourselves. We need to continually praise him for what he has done for us. This past week, I ran across a story about the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Everyone has seen that, 50 times or whatever, right? How many? Yeah. It's on almost every night now until Christmas. But it started back when the country was in the dark grips of World War II, and one man wanted to share with his friends and relatives the hope-filled message of what Christmas meant to him. He wrote the short story and sent it out in his Christmas cards to his close friends, one of which was Frank Capra. The writer hadn't intended to be a movie or a book or even to be widely read. He simply wanted to share his vision of what Christmas meant to him with his friends, and he ended up influencing an entire nation with his story. The man who was telling about that story went on to say that we have a great opportunity to tell the story of Christ to our friends and relatives in our Christmas cards. Because of the season, it's politically correct and easy to do in a non-threatening way. Let me just stop right there, because I know that when we go to a store In the next week or so, you'll probably hear the cashiers or the checkers saying to you, "Happy holidays." I dare you to say "Merry Christmas" back to them. Done it. And they look at you because, you know, and I'm not judging these people, like, because I think it's probably their company policy that they have to be politically correct with everyone that comes in. So happy holidays. You can look at our winter trees and whatever else, you know. But share Christmas with them. Tell them Merry Christmas. Tell them God bless you this Christmas season. So anyway, he went on to explain that there are many Christmas cards for sale these days that tell the story of Jesus in a powerful way. And even if we brought the generic kinds of cards, a little thought and effort could help us to remind our unsaved family and friends about the love of Jesus. He said he used to buy postage stamps. The post office sells happy birthday stamps. And he put them on his envelopes and wrote underneath Jesus. Ah, there you go. With just a little bit of effort and thought, this man was trying to offer his praise to God. And that's just one way to do it. Some people do it by putting out religious Christmas decorations in their yard. Others buy religious gifts for their non-Christian friends and family members. They're all attempting to creatively show Christmas to people and confess the name of Jesus during this season. And when we present such gifts like that, God is pleased. So we need to do our parts. And like I said last week, I don't think God is offended when people come into our house and see our winter solstice trees up. And we tell everybody it's a Christmas tree. And we know we don't worship it. Where else are you going to put the presents? Are you going to put them under a table or something? You have to have a tree, you know, and lights and tinsel and all that. We're just trying to make it festive. And no, we don't worship Santa Claus, you know, but didn't all of us at one time or another believe there was a Santa Claus, right? And pray for Santa, because he's having some real trouble with his legs, the real Santa that comes to this church. But we outgrow that, but the spirit of Christmas is still inside of each one of us. And if we bring that out to other people, it will help the world in a great way. The writer of Hebrews continues on in Hebrews 13:16, and he says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." There was a little girl named Abby, and she went to the refrigerator and grabbed a juice box. She was about ready to shove the straw in there when she noticed it was grape juice. That made her hesitate, so she took the grape box to her little sister and said to her, "Here, you taste this and tell me if it tastes like church." In a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Let your light shine so before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What he's saying is, when people are around us, they should taste church. Shouldn't they? I mean, we're not just praising Jesus on Sunday and then we go home and live like there's no Savior and nothing has happened to us. People around us, they need to see that we are Christians. We need to be not ashamed that we are Christians, followers of Christ. Every time you share with someone who's less fortunate than yourself, you need to remind them that Jesus loves you. Every time you lend a helping hand to someone who is struggling or in need, every time you offer encouragement to someone who is discouraged or visit the sick or pray with someone who is discouraged or in pain. We went to a pastor's breakfast this past Thursday, and I talked to this guy, and he was a little late, and he said, "Sorry for being late." And I said, "Why are you late?" And he says, "Well, we have a mission where we go down to an Alzheimer's care unit, and we sing songs to them." And he goes, "And it's amazing, you go into this place and they're all just kind of blank stares and, you know, they don't remember who they are. And then when you start singing, their face comes alive and they start singing along with you. There's something about music that touches us in our deepest parts." And that'd be a great thing for us to do, is let's find a place. I don't know if we can get down to the Golden Ponds or whatever, but we need to find some place where we can go, not just on Christmas, But we can offer a once a month service or something. We can go down and sing to them and tell them and share the gospel with them. That's what I think that God wants us to do, is not just sit here on our blessed assurances and not do anything. I think we need to go out and share the love and the joy of Christmas, but also the love of Jesus Christ all throughout the year. So we need to visit the sick. I know that hospitals have their own, chaplains. And it's hard to get in to go see anybody. But I know when I get a chance to go visit someone who's in the hospital from our congregation and is sick, I sort of get to talk to their neighbor too. You know, so you can take this opportunity to, you know, hi, how are you? You know, just popped in and say, we love you and we're praying for you. We need to be aware of people that are discouraged or in pain and try to find ways to help them. Every time you do some kind of goodness or kindness as a Christian, the people around us should taste church. The people around us should taste God. And when they do, God receives the glory. God receives the praise for what we're doing. Those who see your actions and hear about them, they glorify your Father. Can you think of a better gift to give your Father at Christmas than that? The sacrifices of praise. And it's got to be a sacrifice of praise. That's why our offerings are a sacrifice of praise. If you just give them $20 and it's really no sacrifice, it's not a sacrifice. It's just whatever. In other words, every time we get the opportunity, we should be pointing at our Savior and God, either by our words or by our actions. People should see Jesus. I think that we need to be more proactive in our walkings around. Sounded good when it was in there, but boy, whew, it came out and it sounded like, but I think that we need to reach out more and help people. I know we've talked about this before. There are thousands and thousands of homeless people that we run across. And we're always trying to figure out, is this the person I should give money to or not? Ask the Lord when you see them, is this the person that I should help? And just ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. We need to do this here real soon again, but we need to make up some bags. What do you call them, Randy? What?
Bum bags.
Wow. Sounds so harsh, doesn't it? But we need those types of bags and you.
Blessed bags.
There you go. That sounds better. Bum bags. Here you bum, take this. Yeah, God bless you, you bum. Blessed bags. But those are the types of things, and it just takes a little bit of creativity. It takes a little bit of effort. It might take a little bit of money to do something like that. But it can go a long way if you give it out in love and you tell somebody, I want to bless you. The next time you go to a restaurant, and we've done this before and it just blows people away, you just feel impressed to bless somebody at another table, and so you tell the waitress, give me their check, and then you can see her going up to the, and she goes, where's my check, where's my bill? No, somebody else paid for you, and they're, why'd you pay for my meal? But you just want to bless somebody sometimes, and it's just a little way of saying, God bless you, right? Remember the story about a university that they banned, they were getting ready for their graduation ceremony, and they forbade anyone to use the name of God in their message, talking about, you know, on this day we're graduating and, you know, God's going to lead us and guide us and everything, and they said, no, you can't do that. And so this young lady that was bringing the announcements was offended by it, so they had previously in advance, that's what previously means. See? Mucinex is not working like it's supposed to. But they had arranged in advance for some people all of a sudden at a specific time to sneeze. And from the pulpit, from the middle of the stadium in the school, everyone said, "God bless you." And they couldn't do anything about it. Because what do you say when people sneeze? "God bless you." Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I read a story about a small boy who was consistently late every day from coming home from school. His parents warned him that he must be home on time that afternoon, but nevertheless, he arrived later than normal. His mother met him at the door and said nothing. His father met him in the living room and said nothing. At dinner that night, the boy looked at his plate. There was a slice of bread and a glass of water. He looked at his father's full plate and then at his father, and his father said nothing. The boy was crushed. The father waited for the full impact to sink in. Then he quietly took his own plate of food, full of meat and potatoes, put it in front of the boy, and smiled at him. And when that boy grew up to be a man, he said, "All my life I've known what God is like by what my father did that night." Isn't that cool? Let's let other people know how great of a God we have by the things that we do for him, the little simple things that we can do for him. Amen? Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your examples of what it is to give you sacrifices of praise, to worship you, to love you, to honor you, to obey you. And Lord, we ask that you would just show us, especially this Christmas season, of what it means to taste like church to people. Not in a mean, harmful way, but in a loving way, just to let people know that my Savior lives. And he lives because I know that he is walking with me and he watches over me. And he loves each one of us. And Lord, I pray that we at times would be able to explain the love of and the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ to others. Lord, let this be the season that others come to know you. Lord, use us in any way that you see fit to help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us not to be offensive, but in loving, kind ways, Lord, let us gently spur each other on in love. And we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you've going to do, and we give you all the praise, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Were you waving at me? No? Yes?
I was trying to make sure everybody knew that we were doing
this. Oh, next Sunday after church, the worship band wants to play some fun Christmas carols, and they're probably not all Christian song, so you know, you'll probably hear Jingle Bells, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Yeah, you know, you go home and you listen to it and you don't say anything to anybody, and then you come to church and go, "No, I can only hear stuff like that." No, you listen to it, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. So anyway, after service, if you want to stick around, there's going to be punch and eggnog and cookies and stuff like that. So,
Yeah, you have to bring cookies.
Oh, see, if there's going to be cookies if you bring them. So if you want to eat cookies, bring some cookies and hang out for a while and just, you know, jump and jive to the music. And what? Oh, Christmas Eve service is on Christmas Eve,
yes.
Monday night,
that would be the
24th of December,
6
o'clock.
And Pastor Tom is bringing Chick-fil-A.
I am bringing Chick-fil-A for everyone.
Other people need to bring
finger foods.
Finger food and their fingers.
Yes. Finger foods. Anything that you can eat with your finger. I'm thinking chicken,
cookies.
Turkey. Mashed potatoes, gravy, you, butter. You can eat anything with your finger. Excuse me. Rice. Excuse me. Fries.
Chocolate pudding.
There you go. You need 3 fingers for that, or 4 fingers, yeah. But anyway, Christmas Eve, we're going to have a service, a candlelight service. So if you're around, we would love to have you come with us. It's only an hour or so. And we'll try to get you out of here in enough time to go see your family or be home or whatever. And I'm trying to remember, so I don't forget, that Roy is having a benefit this afternoon from 12 till 8 o'clock tonight for Zinni. She's a young lady who has
Zinni
Crapo.
Free food. And presents for all kids at every age except for us adult kids.
That's discrimination, and I'm not going. No, so yeah, if you could help out and just want to make your presence known, maybe this would be a great way to share something with others that you can pass on. And I think we're done. Are we done? Anything else? God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. We're going to have Sunday service the 2 days before Christmas and then Monday night service for Christmas Eve. Okay? All right. God bless you.